Was a nice clear sound. I love the sound of that trumpet shofar. I love it because it's that what that means when he blows it at 10 o'clock is we're all gathered together to begin to worship God. Amen. And that is the main reason that we gather together. And so again this week our apostles are still on vacation. They are Hallelujah. Having a wonderful time. I'm sure I did get a text message from Apostle Linda this morning that had a beautiful, I mean, gorgeous picture of the sun and the beach and the ocean. So I know it's wonderful where they're at. And so we're really glad about that. And we say, God bless you, our apostles, and just have the best of the rest of this week of your vacation. And so, but I do have something I want to share with you as we open this morning, because the Lord is always speaking. And you know, I get here early, and the worship team gets here early, and they go through the songs enough that they're all together. I mean, they have a practice outside of this, but that's what they do. So I get to hear what they're doing. So I know this morning we have a new song that we're going to sing, and so that's really cool. And I didn't know that. But the scripture that the Lord gave me to open with this morning is Psalm 33 in the Passion. And it says, it's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all you redeemed ones, that's us, do it. Praise him with all you have, for praise looks lovely on the lips of God's lovers. So when we are worshiping him, when we are singing about him, when we are glorifying him, our lips are beautiful. Wow. Now this is for you, Ron, and this is for you, Vince. Listen to this. Play the guitar as you lift your praises loaded with thanksgiving. I only have my air guitar, but I do play it sometimes. Sing and make joyous music with all you've got inside. Compose new melodies that release new praises to the Lord. And that's what Amy did this week. She composed a new melody, and we're going to sing it this week. Play his praises on instruments with the anointing and skill he gives you. Sing and shout with passion. Make a spectacular sound of joy, for God's word is something to sing about. He is true to his promises. His word can be trusted, and everything he does is reliable and right. The Lord loves seeing justice on the earth. Wow. What an opening, huh? That's Psalm 33 in the Passion, and God has a lot to say in his word about how to praise him. So we praise him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and we enter into the most holy place in our worship. And so this is an important thing that we do together here and unified and releasing the sound of worship and praise to God. In another psalm, in Psalm 47, it says that God goes up in our praises. So when we release the shout, when we shout for joy, he goes up in our shout, and he makes war against the enemies of our flesh, the enemies against us in the earth. This is just so amazing. Listen to this. It goes on in Psalm 33. It says, with his breath, he scatters the schemes of nations who oppose him. They will never succeed. Blessed and prosperous is the nation who has God as their Lord. The creator of our hearts considers and examines everything we do. Human strength and the weapons of man are false hopes for victory. They may seem mighty, but they will always disappoint. But you know who never disappoints is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He never disappoints us. He never fails. He is faithful. He is just. He is true. And that's why we're here to worship him. That's why we're here to share the word, you know, that comes out of his word. And we do it united as one. And so are you ready to have us be united as one? One sound, one place, one one voice?
Yes. Amen. So I will tell you that in creating that space for us to become one and to have one voice, often there are religious spirits or habits that we need to break. And during our praise and worship today, you're going to feel a stretch into breaking an old habit, something that you're used to singing in a song, and something that we'll be singing today. Amen. So let's start this way with our right hand up. And I'm going to count to three, and on three each time we're going to say as one, I love to stand, I love to do this. Amen. Would you stand with me? One, two, three, as one. One, two, three, as one. One, two, three, as one. Amen. Oh, we wait on you, God. Yes, we're waiting at the gates for you, King of glory coming. Because Prophet Susie had a vision, and she saw the 2 feet of God come down on Michigan. And he said to stomp. He said to release the treasures that are in this state. And as Michigan goes, so goes our nation. Well, Susie had years ago, correct, rewritten Dancing in the Streets to Stomping in the Streets. And the Lord tied those 2 things together, and of course, then I had an assignment. And my assignment becomes your assignment. So we're not just singing a rewritten song from Motown, although that's fun. We're singing a rewritten song for heaven to establish the strategies of God here in this place now. So we're going to take it back up at the top and give you another chance to read those words that are so different. They're breaking strongholds and mindsets and bringing in the new, amen?
Stomping in the street up in Philadelphia, PA. 'Cause we're stomping in the streets. Hey. It's a smack, a crack, a jackhammer beat. We're stomping in the streets. Okay, who's stomping? Stomping. Come on, stomping. We saw these three men stomping. Come stomping down, stomping. Oh, we're stomping. Releasing the sound. Into the earth, we're stomping. We're stomping, yeah. Who is this king of glory? Who tells us to stomp? It's Jesus. Thank you. release the sounds, we release the sounds of heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy is your name.
Struggle.
peals of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Above all names. Oh. the name of Jesus.
Yes, we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you. And we do say hallelujah. And we do lift up the name of Jesus above all other names. We exalt you, mighty God.
We exalt you.
We exalt you and we lift you up. We lift you up. We exalt you. We exalt you in the heavens and we exalt you in the earth. For there is no other name by which men are saved but the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wow, I love the sound. I love the sound of the keys and the trumpets and the guitars and the drums and every instrument, because every instrument praises the Lord. Just like the word says that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And who gave us our breath but the Father himself who breathed into Adam his breath of life. Yes, yes. So we offer it back. We offer it back to the kings, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The breath, the breath, the breath of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited this morning about what God is doing, what he did through Pastor Amy, through the worship team this morning, and that we sang a new song. You know, it was a little awkward. You can go ahead and sit down. It was a little awkward, like we were told it would be. It was a little awkward. We didn't know all of those words. And so it was, you had to keep looking at the screen or just decide to pick up the words that you could pick up, whichever way that it goes for you. But, you know, the Lord says in the Word again and again to sing a new song. And that means a new song, you know, not the same song, although it could be the same song, but what that's really talking about is hear what he's saying and sing what heaven is saying. And I just so admire and I'm thankful for Pastor Amy who heard a new sound and wrote the words, wrote the music, and brought it all together and mixed it in songs we knew. And what the Holy Spirit reminded me of was some scriptures in Revelation 8 that I just want to share with you real quick. This is just kind of a little extra, just to explain a little bit about what's going on when we worship. It says in Revelation 8, verse 3, it says, "Then another angel with a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar. And a great number of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out." Now, this is our worship and this is our prayers. It's incense to God. So when we sing the new song, when we sing the old song, when we mix them together, when we're releasing the sound of heaven, this is what's happening around the throne. It says, "Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake." Well, we didn't feel a natural earthquake, but there is an earthquake in the spirit realm, because as we release our worship and it ascends up into heaven, it creates an alignment in the heavens that then causes an adjustment, and it causes the gates of heaven to be open, and the peals of thunder and the flashes of lightning are the heart of God for mankind and for the earth, of which the whole Bible's filled with the revelation of that and the verbiage of that. But I wanted you to know that I just saw that so plainly, that is what was happening as we were releasing a new sound, a new song. you know, and we were just daring to go places that we don't normally go. And what has the Lord been saying for a long time? But that I'm limitless. Don't set artificial boundaries. And one of my favorite worship songs that I listen to at home, it's not really one that could be like a corporate kind of song, but it just really, the words capture my heart, and it starts with untethered. And I think that's exactly what God wants us to be. He wants us to be untethered, untethered, so that we are able to move with Him and how He's moving in this time, in this new era. And so you have to, I find for me anyway, I have to set myself in a framework that I'm willing to do something new, sing something new, and be untethered so I can go where He is and I can allow Him to take me there. And that's what we did. That's what we did together this morning with the guitars, with the drums, with the strings, with the keys, with the voices, with our voices, singing these songs, singing the melodies of heaven. And worshiping God, it's incense to Him. It's incense to Him. It glorifies Him and magnifies Him. It exalts the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when we lift up Jesus, He draws all men to Himself. Now, I don't know exactly how He does all of that, but I know He does because the Word says that He does, and I believe the Bible. And so I don't understand all of the dynamics and all the details of how every single thing works out, but God does give us insight, revelation, and knowledge to how things operate in the supernatural because He wants us to operate in the supernatural. He wants us to not be unfamiliar or think that the supernatural only belongs to a select group of people. No, that's not true. The supernatural belongs to the body of Christ, which we are. And it tells us clearly in the Word, we are natural and supernatural at the same time. I mean, how good is our God? How good is our God? Only He could accomplish this. We can't accomplish this in the natural. This is only accomplished by the power of our holy God, our Father, the power of the Holy Spirit and the goodness of God. This is His plan. It's His design. And we just stepped right into it today, and I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. Thank you. I want to release the children and all of those that are ministering with the children today so that they can be released. And I want to remind everybody that if you brought an offering today, brought your tithe today, that you can deposit it in the, there's a lockbox on the table in the middle when you go out these double doors, plus another one on the wall over here. So you can put your offerings and your tithes in there. And remind you again that our beloved apostles are on vacation. And so I just want to pray over them right now. So, Father, I just thank You. I thank You for our apostles. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You have them in a place of being refreshed and being renewed. I thank You, Lord, that they are seeing the beauty of Your creation there on the ocean's edge. I thank You that their hearts are always hungry for more of You. So I pray, Lord God, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon them in a fresh and a new way. I pray, Lord God, that they would just be blessed at every turn, at everything that they do, that every door would open wide and Your blessings would just flow upon them. That even as it says the blessing in the Old Testament, Lord, that You would just make Your face shine upon them, Lord God, in their coming and in their going, and that, Lord, every step would be orchestrated and they would encounter You, Your goodness, Your love, and Your glory again and again and again in the name of Jesus. You know, we're glad they can go take a vacation. We miss them. We do. I mean, I know I do, so I know that you do, because we do miss them. But we want them also at the same time to have that time of refreshing, because we all need that. We all need to pull away. We all need to get away. We all need to get out of the familiar framework so that we can hear God in a new, fresh way. And that's exactly what we did in worship this morning. We stepped outside of the familiar framework into a different framework, and so we could hear God in a fresh, new way. You know, Jesus said when he was out in the wilderness and the devil came to tempt him in those 40 days, and when the devil started to speak to him, Jesus' reply was, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, that's how we worship. We worship with the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because that's the fresh now world word, full of power, full of his glory, full of revelation knowledge, that breaks open everything that would resist God. Those are his promises. And so those are just good things to reiterate. I just love to reiterate them to myself, so I'm reiterating to you at the same time. Now, I just want to pray again. There's just such an anointing. Father, we just thank you for your presence. Oh, God, you are holy. You are so holy. You are so worthy. You are righteous. You are amazing, and we are in awe of you. We are in awe of you. You are everything we need. You are the fullness of all that life is and can be. We thank you, Holy Spirit, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to release what you want released through this word this morning. And that we would receive it. We open our hearts. That we would have an ear to hear and a heart to receive what you would speak. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. That's just an amazing thing right there. And as you speak to us, let us respond in an appropriate way. We magnify your name and we say all of these things. We ask all of these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You know that there's a holiness in the atmosphere that I'm sensing. And so that's why I'm responding the way that I'm responding, is because I can feel this holiness of God. And when I feel the holiness of God, there's just like an awe that comes with it. It's a place where it's just like, I don't really even want to talk. I just want to hear the Lord. I just want to be in his presence. I just want to bask in who he is, because he's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out his spirit. He's pouring out his spirit. And that's us that's receiving it. He's pouring his spirit out on all flesh. But we, as his sons and daughters, recognize that he's pouring out his spirit, so we can respond by opening our hearts and saying, "More of you, Jesus. We want to connect with more. We already have the fullness, but there's parts of it that are still not evident to us in our heart." And God unlocks those portions so that we can see him and know him more, so that we can stand strong when the prevailing winds of culture and society at this time are maligning Christianity in a way that I've never heard in my lifetime. And it's amazing. But God knew that we would be in this time. And so what did he make us? He made us full of him so that we could stand and keep standing, so that we could see him. You know, Apostle Bob preached multiple weeks on, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I can see you. Open my ears that I can hear you," because we want to have revelation and knowledge and wisdom of who God is, so that we can trust him, so that we can believe him, so that it builds up our faith, our courage, our strength, so that we don't lose our joy, so that what the narrative of the world systems are don't confuse us or get us to go down a wrong path. Or if we start down that wrong path, the Holy Spirit reminds our hearts of what the word says, what his promises say. So when we remind ourselves of that word, it brings us back into the reality of his truth. It brings us back into the light. You know, Jesus, it talks about Jesus in John 1, where the disciple John is writing who Jesus is, and he says he's the Word, but then after that he says he's the light of the world. He says he's the light of the world, but the world didn't get it. They didn't know. They didn't receive the light. We wouldn't have received the light either if the Holy Spirit hadn't broken our hearts open to receive that revelation. So our cry as the church, as the ecclesia, as the body of Christ is for all hearts to be broken open. And only the Lord knows how to do that. Only the Lord knows how to cause our ears to hear the word that would break open whatever resistance that we have against the truth of God. That's the promise of the gospel. That's the promise of the gospel, that part being that, again, that if we lift up the name of Jesus, if we lift him up, he will draw all men to himself. It tells us in Romans 1 that God puts something in our DNA, every man, every person, so that instinctively, whether we can read or not, whether there's a Bible in our hands or not, whether there's someone who preaches to us or not, that the very skies and creation itself will declare who God is, and that there will be revelation that there is the great God above all gods, and so that every man, every woman is presented with the truth of there is a holy God, our Creator, the Creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And he is also the keeper of the same. He's not asking us to keep it. What he asks us to do is speak his word into it, and then he watches after his word to perform it, so that we don't have to make something happen. But what do? We believe God. It says faith is what God responds to, faith. And so we believe him. Now, sometimes it's real easy to believe him, and then other times it's kind of difficult. It's kind of difficult because our emotions and our lives get caught up in these circumstances. And so we have to kind of peel the circumstances back and speak to ourselves about what is the truth. What does the word say? Where is a word that is from God that's in this book that I can stand on and know that I can keep standing and that God himself will bring about his promises? He's faithful and he's true. These are the realities of God's character and nature, and that he has not changed. He has not changed. He does not get frustrated with us, even when we lose where we're going, when we lose sight of who he is. He doesn't think, oh, Susie, what's wrong with you? That's not what he thinks. No, he says, grace. See this grace banner over here? He says, grace. I've poured out my grace, and my grace will chase you down, Susie, and you will hear again, and then when you hear again, it will bring you back into that place of faith. It'll bring you back into the place of trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and he will make straight our path. He does it. He does it. We trust. We believe. We trust. We believe. It's not hard, but it is hard, you know? It's not hard, but it is hard because there's things that resist us believing. What are those things? They're lies. They're lies, they're law, they're paradigms that do not contain the truth. And so in this time, one of the big things that God is doing is he's confronting the paradigms of old that would keep us tethered to the past, and we would not be able to advance. We would not be able to go into our future. Now, a lot of times we don't even know we have these paradigms. We don't even know we have these mindsets. We don't even know that we are resisting the truth of God, the word of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, because really, who would resist that, right? I mean, who would resist the love of God? Well, nobody would. Nobody would. But there are structures in the heavenly realms that get built that block his word from being heard in our hearts. But God also made places that we can go to that resistance is not there. So that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the heavenly realms. You know, Ephesians 1 says that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I love that scripture. I love that scripture. And I've asked the Holy Spirit hundreds of times, if not thousands, what are the heavenly realms? I want to see the heavenly realms. I want to understand the heavenly realms. If I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing that's in the heavenly realms, then I want to access them. I want to know what they are, because they're mine, because God says they're mine. He says he's blessed me with them, but if I don't get it, then they're not much of a blessing. They're like having the big bank account, but you're living like a pauper and don't have enough money for housing or food or clothing, but yet you've got all this money in the bank. Well, I don't want to live like that. God doesn't want me to live like that. He doesn't want us to live like that. So I have been asking the Lord for a very long time, what are the heavenly realms? Help me to understand the heavenly realms. And so I have a smidgen of understanding, and I'm going to share my smidgen of understanding with you guys today. And I say smidgen on purpose because, trust me, it's tiny. But a crack means the door is open. And if there's a crack and the door is open, God can say, like he said to John in Revelation 4, come up here. I have something I want to show you. Oh, up here, that's where all those heavenly realms are. Okay. All right, yes, thank you, Lord. So I'm going to talk about a specific heavenly realm today. It's called the stillness of God. That is a heavenly realm. There are a lot of promises that are connected to the stillness of God. And I want to release scriptures about that. What I was praying before I got here and after I got here, and all in my preparation, was, Lord, give us a download. Lord, impart to us the ability to really lay hold of this spiritual realm where there is blessing in your stillness, so that it becomes a reality in our lives, so that it becomes a resource that we can go to, something that we can lay hold of, just like we lay hold of the spiritual armor. Now, you know, when we lay hold of the spiritual armor that's in Ephesians 6, and we put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth, and our feet are covered with the gospel of peace, and we got the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, you don't see anything on me. So this is supernatural, right? So we don't have any trouble accepting that supernatural, because way back in Sunday school days, we all colored pictures with all of the spiritual weapons, and we had lessons on that, so it was acceptable. Well, there's a bunch of things that haven't been taught in Sunday school yet, but they're just as acceptable. And one of those things is that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Well, how do we access that spiritual realm, just like the armor of God? By faith. By faith. Holy Spirit revelates it. The Word revelates it. And we say, you know what, God? I believe you. I believe you. And since I believe you, I'm laying hold of that. And I'm taking it into myself. I'm just taking it into myself. So that's my prayer for today. So the stillness of God. Let me go back and talk about the structure in the invisible heavens just a minute. So if you can just kind of picture this in your mind, that here we are in the natural realm. You know, this is the natural atmosphere. And then in the highest place is the highest heaven, is the throne of God. In between are spiritual realms. These are storehouses for us. Storehouses. They have inheritance in them. They have blessing in them, and they are for us now. We don't have to wait until some future time to access the blessings and the benefits of the spiritual realms. And so let me describe the spiritual realms just a little bit more so, because I want you to be able to get a hold of it. We build realms in the spirit all the time, whether we know it or not. And we build them with our belief systems. And we've all walked into realms. You know, you can walk into a room, and if there's just been a big fight in the room, there can be, the fight can be over, and people are doing something very benign and soft, but you can feel in the spirit realm, you can feel the discord, sometimes you can feel anger, sometimes you feel just a coldness and a separation. And so that's something we've all encountered. And so I want you to see that these spiritual realms are real. They are real. So as we go into this about the stillness of God, as you believe it, as you speak it, as you lay hold of it, as the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, what happens is it gets built up around you. It comes closer, if you will. And so that you can have the benefit of that particular spirit realm. Does that make sense? And we, like I said, we do that mostly unknowingly, but God wants us to do it knowingly. Because right now in the earth, the world systems and the nations, you know that they're in great turmoil. There's great conflict. And so there's a lot of chaos. A lot of chaos in the earth, not just here, but across the earth. There's a lot of chaos. You can read headlines. I mean, you know, with the internet and social media and all of that, it's easy to know that pretty much the same thing is going on in the nations across the earth. There's a lot of vying for power. There's a lot of manipulation and control. A lot of things going on that are, for me, jaw-dropping there. It's like, wow, where did that come from? Well, we're in a place where God is revealing the old, actually what we see, the revelations that we see, the corruption and all that goes with all of that, those are not new things. We're just seeing them. We're just seeing them. And we may have heard about them before, but wrote it all off as that was just a few bad apples and it wasn't that big of a thing. But the Lord is revealing there's big corruption going on, that there's big manipulation going on. And so I don't want to focus on that, but I also want to say that that's the reality of the natural times that we live in. And God knew we would be in these times. And so whatever time that you live in, God has resources for those times. And so he has resources for us today so that we are not overwhelmed and taken out by what's going on in the earth, because we are residents of heaven. We're a holy nation. We're a set apart people. We are living stones that God is building into his house. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. How could that be? Because it says clearly in the word that when we are saved, when we believe in Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of Christ comes to live in us. Wow. Also, the Lord gives us a measure of faith, and that faith can grow. And he also gives us the Holy Spirit, but there's more of the Holy Spirit that you can get. And so it's just phenomenal what the Lord gives us. Why would he give us all of that? Well, we have to go back and look at the garden. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man, and then he created woman, and he put them in the garden, and he says, here's your job, or your mandate. He said, tend to this garden, which means take care of the land, cause it to prosper, cause it to be fruitful, also expand it. Why? Because everything that God is in brings blessing. It brings hope. It brings life. It brings light. It brings peace. Well, that, in a roundabout way, says that maybe there wasn't light and peace everywhere, but that there had to be the expansion of God's kingdom by Adam and Eve in the earth for that blessing to come in the full way that the Lord wanted it to come. And so I'll just leave that as just a tiny little explanation as to this. It's the same today. It's the same today that God is saying, I put you in Detroit, I put you in Michigan, I put you in this time frame, and here's the reason why: for my kingdom to come and for my will to be done. And so my kingdom comes through you, my body. My will is done through you. Now, you don't make my will happen. That's what the word says. We don't make God's will happen, but we speak it forth, and then he causes it to happen. So that's how it works. So in this place we're in, of all this great controversy that's in the earth, God is unveiling resources and making things clear that weren't clear in the old season, because we no longer live in that old season. We're living in a totally new time, a totally new era. Things work different, so God gives us different things. And so one of the things that he's opening up is understanding of the invisible realm, understanding of the supernatural, and for it not to be scary and not to be spooky and not to be like, ooh, I'm not sure that that's okay because somebody perverted some of that stuff back in another time, and I'm sure still is, because there is witchcraft. Witchcraft is a real thing, and all that goes with it, because there's still idol worship in the earth, and so witchcraft will be here as long as there's idol worship in the earth. But let me tell you, as long as there is worship of the true God, the one and only God, that his throne is above every other throne. And so when we worship God, what happens is we enthrone him in our praises, but it truly brings his throne in, which brings in his rule and reign. And so then any curse, any witchcraft, any power of darkness doesn't have a chance, because his government will supersede whatever else is there. Sometimes that happens quickly. Sometimes it happens over multiple years. I don't know how that's going to work. God knows how that's going to work. But I know who my God is. And so if it doesn't happen fast, I stir my faith and say, I know that God's faithful and true. And I can go back in this Bible and I can read multiple stories of where he was faithful and true to a time, to a nation, to a people, where he did incredible miracles, signs, and wonders, so that what the word says, so that all the earth would know who God is. So with the rising of all of this evil and the revelation of it coming up and being exposed, God is setting everything up for all of the earth to know who he is in a new way. That's what's happening. So let's get to the stillness of God. So let me just say this first. The stillness of God is connected to faith, hope, peace, vision, and courage. Also, each one of these is a realm in the heavenly realms, but I'm not going to talk about each one of these, but just so you know, there's a realm of faith, there's a realm of hope, there's a realm of peace, there's a realm of vision, there's a realm of courage, and we have access to all of those because those are part of the heavenly realms that God has blessed us with. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "For it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God, as we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And now he is our God-given wisdom, our virtue, our holiness, and our redemption." This is a promise. This is truth. That we draw our life from God, not the world system. So sometimes when everything gets all messed up and we get out of kilter, what I found for me is that sometimes I forgot to draw my life from God. And I started thinking that the job or the government or something else was my source. God is always my source. Always, always, always my source. He is my Father. He is a good, good Father. He is my provider. He is. And if I don't take advantage of that provision, then that's just a little silly on my part to not do that, because He makes His provision available, because I'm His daughter. But sometimes I lose sight and I get mixed up in the world system. So I turn my eyes back on Jesus, like it says in Hebrews 12:2. You know, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So I fix my eyes back on Him, and after I do that, you know, sooner or later, I start to see where I missed it. And then I can come back in alignment, because that's the goodness and the faithfulness of God. He's not judging me or bonking me on the head because I went off. No, He's looking for the place just to bring me back. He's looking for the place to bring me back. It's the spirit of religion that says that He's angry and that He's ready to, bonk me on the head. In my youth days, when I knew nothing about the goodness of God and nothing about the love of God, I pictured God as the arcade game about hit the mole. You know, hit the mole? Whack-a-mole. Where you got the hammer and you got these holes and whack if it sticks up its head through the hole. That's how I saw God. I saw God as angry. I saw God as just unpleasable. And so what I tried to do was just stay real low, because I didn't want to not please God. Now, I was born again, but I had no revelation of the love of God. So then this mindset got built into me that this is the way God was. Well, there's no truth in that. But yet I believed it. But I was believing something that wasn't true. But later down the road, the Lord revealed to me His goodness. Oh my golly. His good, 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 good goodness. And His love and His faithfulness. And I read the scriptures and saw it says in the very Bible that He is not mad with me. He's removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. I am washed in the blood of Jesus, which makes me whiter than snow. And it not only makes me whiter than snow, but there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. And so I can speak His name and I can speak His blood. And what do I see? Miracles released. Miracles released, because those are portals for Him to come in through when I speak them. And He does amazing, marvelous things. And just like it says in the book of Acts, everyone around me would know that I'm just an ordinary, mere person. But Christ is in me. And He's not ordinary. And He's not mundane in any way. And because He is in me, I can speak those things that are as not, and God reaches His hand through there and releases miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverance, life or death. And He does it again and again and again, and He never gets tired of doing it because it's who He is. All right? So there is a key verse for this year. And I've already heard it from several other people, but mainly I've heard it from the Holy Spirit. And this is Psalm 46:10, familiar verse. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." So that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go in and talk about the stillness of God. But before I do that, you know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we hear about the goodness of Jesus, when we hear what He's done, it stirs our faith to know that He'll do it again, and He'll do it again. So I'm going to ask Don to come up here, who's going to give a testimony of the results of hearing God in His still, small voice in the old season and what came out of that, so that it stirs our faith for what God has for us to step into in this time and beyond.
Good morning. All right. Look at this. This is just like home. There's a table, and it's all filled up before I even got here. I've got to stand back here and use my notes. So I'm clearing a little space over here. Yeah. All right. Good morning. I'm Don. What I want to talk to you about this morning is, as Susie was telling you, things happen. Things happen that you don't believe can possibly happen. There's no possible way this is going to, yeah, well, guess what? It does. What I want to talk to you about this morning is a thing called G7D, Grand 7 Detroit. And I don't know if all of you, a lot of you know, have been around for a while, know what Grand 7 Detroit is, but there's probably some that do not know what Grand 7 Detroit is. It's a very, very significant part of Harvest Christian Church. So that's why I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it this morning and tell you some things about it. Harvest Christian Church has been part of the city since it was founded near downtown on September 20th, 1929. Almost 100, near, we're pushing, getting close to 100 years ago. Harvest Christian Church was founded inside the city of Detroit. I just find that just pretty amazing. Things were it was founded on the near the corner of 3rd and Warren Streets, which is now part of the campus of Wayne State University. But that's where the church was originally started, was down there downtown in the 1930s. So that was 1929. In the 1930s, things were really happening in Detroit. It was a growing place, an expanding place, and this part of Detroit, this side of Detroit, was expanding. You might not know this because of the history of Detroit, but Grand River Avenue has been there for a long, long time. It's always been part of Detroit. Well, it was also a streetcar line. A streetcar ran out Grand River Avenue, and the end of the streetcar line was Grand River and 7 Mile. Right there on that corner, right down there, was the end of the streetcar line. I guess I should point that way, shouldn't I? It was the end of the streetcar line. In mid-1930s, a group of men from the church downtown got together some money, $2,000, bought a bunch of materials, and built a new building. And that was at on Winston Street, just right over here. And we moved into that building in 1938, okay? And that was the beginnings of that happening right there at the end of the streetcar line and all the other stuff that was going on around here. So we've been in this part of the city since 1938. We moved into this building in 1991, okay? So that's a little bit about the history. Through the early 1900s and 2000s, it was a very busy time. There were building renovations going on in this place. There were conferences, lots of conferences, guests coming, guests. We were guests at places. They were coming here, travels, international travels. We started a thing called the Detroit Regional House of Prayer in a building that we purchased just east of Telegraph on 7 Mile Road. A lot of things really, really happening. We were always working, but we were always listening at the same time. Somewhere around 2003, we heard two things that became keys to us. And I'm going to read you these two scriptures that were heard pretty clearly. And they're both from the book of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 1, the Lord replied, "Look and be amazed. You will be astounded at what I am about to do, for I am going to do something in your own lifetime that you will have to see to believe." Okay, and then the other one that came to us just a little bit later in Habakkuk 2, "And the Lord said to me, 'Write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell the others. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, as the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. It will not be overdue a single day.'" All right? And we heard those things here at Harvest Christian Church in a small group. So we heard that one of the things that we heard out of those verses, that we were supposed to be more than just a church presence here. We were supposed to be more than just a nice building on the corner with really nicely manicured grass. Okay, in addition to our church, we were called to Northwest Detroit with a vision of impacting our neighborhood and impacting its residents. The vision became a commitment to transform our neighborhood into a healthy and secure home for families and offer hope for the future. As you might expect, because things like that happen, since this neighborhood here behind us was built in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, things changed. Not all of them for the best. Okay? But our vision was to, through those scriptures, was to transform the neighborhoods and change it back into what the Lord had originally planned. We've had a number of different names in our organization, but our vision and our commitment to the neighborhood never changed. When we really got started getting organized, we were called City Transformation. That was back in 2004 when we really started organizing this thing. In 2010, we were Harvest Gate. In 2012, we called ourselves City in a City. In 2013 was a major reorganization, and we started a thing called Build It Detroit. And in 2017, Build It Detroit became Grand 7 Detroit. And if you look at the logo thing there, not only do you see the Heal, Hope, and Home, which is part of our mission, but you see G7D. And if you look at that, that's Grand River, that's the G part, 7 is the 7-mile part, and D is the Detroit part. But if you look at that thing just a little bit, that 7 always catches my attention, doesn't it? There's a little more to that 7 than just a 7, and that's what those little parts on the top are. That's our Lord right there in that logo. So we had a vision of creating vibrant, thriving communities. A team of leaders at Harvest got motivated for a passion for revitalization of the neighborhood. This neighborhood has a lot of history. A lot of it good and some of it not quite so good, but a lot has been forgotten. One very interesting thing, when we first started working on G7D or Build It Detroit, we started with a lot of communication and a lot of work with the City of Detroit. And one time we went down to the City of Detroit for a meeting, and we even had to remind the City of Detroit officials that, no, the city boundary is not Telegraph Road. It goes west of Telegraph Road, and that Harvest Christian Church and G7D were indeed in the City of Detroit. They didn't know that. So there you go. That's how, like many neighborhoods, we had our share of problems and concerns. But God. In 2007, the Build It Detroit was relaunched as Grand 7 Detroit, and the commitment to the organization remained the same, motivated by a passion for revitalization of the neighborhoods, creating vibrant, thriving communities to better reflect our commitment to the neighborhood near the corner of Grand River and 7 Mile Road. G7 started with a focus of Northwest Detroit, adjacent to the church, but we had a vision of extending out from there. Finances to operate G7D primarily came from Harvest Christian Church, building a city in a city, ambitiously began with the acquisition of some properties on these streets right behind us, Woodbine, Lenore, and Winston Street, from 7 Mile Road to Frisbee. And over time, we purchased properties along these three streets from banks, private owners, from Wayne County, and with plans for renovation of all those areas. G7D transformed many of the properties from vacant, substandard housing into comfortable, livable, habitable homes. In 2016 and 17, we completed a major renovation of 7 homes as part of an affordable housing project to provide homes for families who qualified for that program. Right now, a total of 13 families live and are occupants in our fully restored houses in our community. Thank you, Lord. These families, along with their neighbors, are also enjoying the ongoing transformation of the neighborhood as things progress. Some of our remaining properties include homes, as well as vacant land and buildings in need of renovation. A few of the places up these streets, if you drive up that direction, the buildings are a little bit substandard and they need to be demolished or removed to get them out of the neighborhood. In addition to our housing programs, we also have programs to help individuals with their spiritual, physical, and vocational challenges and allow them to grow and recover and succeed in life. A number of G7D families and neighborhood families have joined us here at Harvest Christian Church. In a major project in 2018, not that long ago, G7D planned, developed, and installed a community park, which includes picnic areas, game areas, play structure for the neighborhood kids. We are quite proud of that. Many volunteers helped that project happen, and it was largely financed and supported by an organization called Kaboom, and it was our organization called Foresters Financial, Harvest Christian Church, and all of you. We've also had community gardens, and we have plans for walking and exercise areas and a whole bunch of other things that we're planning. Each phase of the project continues to release life and hope into our community. We've done few distributions. Thank you. We've done few food distributions, education programs. G7D is mostly financed by the generous gifts and donations of private individuals and organizations, as well as from our rental incomes. Over the years, we've put a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy into our neighborhood and into our residents. So we're quite excited about what has happened. We're quite excited about what's going to happen next. But nobody did it alone. There's a lot of people that are part of Harvest Christian Church that are also part of G7D. I got a list here. I always hesitate a little bit to read a list of names because I'm afraid I might forgot somebody and that wouldn't be good. But anyways, Apostle Bob is certainly part of the G7D in management and oversight of all the activities of G7D. Lee Fair is in management and everything else. Don Donnelly, Mike Horvath back there, they're in charge of anything and everything. Whatever needs done. See Don, see Mike. Laura Henry does administration and support. Diana Glab does all of our accounting and bookkeeping. Mike Smith is part of our maintenance crew. You see Mike out cleaning up the neighborhood all the time. Jim Berger is in maintenance and construction. David Hurley is in grounds maintenance. He takes care of all the grasses and things like that. Nathan Stahl is in administration and legal. Ron Rivers is part of our property management and resident relations. So you see there's a lot of Harvest people that are part of G7D and all of you as well. Other supporters and partners who share our vision, partners who have helped us be able to get to where we are. There's if you drive down 7 Mile and Grand River down there, there's a Delta Sigma Theta sorority. They've been contributors and helpers in a lot of the things we do. There's an organization called SDM2. That's Jacqueline and Willie, who live near the north end of Lenore, and they help out with meals and food, and they have a community garden and a park. They have an education and literacy program, and they just have a lot of stuff going on that's kind of balances what we've got going on down on this end and all throughout the neighborhood. They're great people. G7D sold two of our properties on Winston Street, the street just over that way, to SDM2 so they could expand their operations. And they've taken those. They kind of connect up to the properties that they own here on Lenore Avenue. So that's helped them, and we were grateful that we could do that. There's an organization called Say Detroit. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a foundation started by Mitch Albom, a radio personality in Detroit. And his foundation provides shelter, homes, and a path to success for Detroit residents. G7D sold a home on Woodbine to Say Detroit. And now there's a new family placed into that house to further upgrade the neighborhood. There's a large group called Brilliant Detroit. And a lot of people haven't heard of Brilliant Detroit, but they have 18 neighborhood locations around the city. And they work with families and children from 0 to 8 years old with health and education programs, and they're quite influential. G7D recently sold a partly renovated building on Lenore Avenue, just across the street from where our park is, to Brilliant Detroit for a new community center. So we're going to have part of Brilliant Detroit right on our street once they get that building set up to their standards. I mentioned Kaboom and Foresters Financial and PNC Bank and an organization called Capital Compassion and Detroit Future City and local churches including MDCC and many others and local businesses including GM, the Ideal Group, Ace Hardware, Quicken Loans, and a whole bunch of others. And don't want to forget the city of Detroit that's helped us out in many areas. There's also been many other donations of construction material and time and energy that have gone into G7D. Didn't do that ourselves. God did that. We just pointed it. A few other things that have been happening over the months. If you haven't been up to the park, you need to drive up to the park. Right in the front, there's a thing called a little library, and that's a place where kids can come and take books and drop off books, and that is part of the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, and Mike Horvath took care of that too. We've had family picnics and events and food giveaways and neighborhood cleanups and beautification days and debris removals and landscape and brush removals. Our presence has impacted the neighborhood. So what's going on right now in G7D? Right now we've got two buildings that are beyond repair. We can't save them. And they're being demolished or getting ready to be demolished. The paperwork, oh my, the paperwork. You would not believe the paperwork it takes to demolish a building. You'd think that would be easy, right? Drive up to a bulldozer and it comes. No, no. There's paperwork. There's inspections. There's tests that have to be done. There's a whole raft of government, City of Detroit paperwork. We're through it all. Demolition should start before the end of the year on those two buildings. They'll just be grass for the time being, but it'll look a lot better than it does right now. Then there's one more I want to tell you about. This one is one of my favorites. If you drive up Lenore Avenue, and you'll see a few of our homes, both on the right and on the left. Just north, just past the park area, you'll see a really nice light gray house. Somebody who attends Harvest Christian Church lives in that house. Then you'll see a property called 19300 Lenore, or it's a beautiful brick house with wonderful potential. Maybe you'll see it, maybe you won't, because there's so much overgrown brush and trees that has to be cleared out of there that you might not be able to see it unless you look real careful, but it's going to be great. We're in the process of getting renovation quotes and beginning our fundraising for that property. I don't want to shock you, but we're past that thingy called COVID, and pricing has changed. We estimate it's going to probably cost somewhere between $130,000 and $140,000 to bring that building up to our standards. So we're starting on the fundraising of that. But with the Lord's help, we've done it before. We can do it again. All right? And I especially want to thank all of you for all of your involvement in partnering with G7D. Neighborhood cleanups, work, financial givers, generous donations. It's making a difference. If you continue to partner with us, the Grand 7 neighborhood and community continues to experience more healing and growth. There's thousands of other things I could probably tell you about G7D, but mostly I want to say thanks to all of you who have helped. Thank you for your partnership. We don't want just a bunch of houses, but we want homes. We want to help and educate and build and grow families and create a vibrant neighborhood, and with you, we can make that happen. So we're not about simply renovating homes. Our mission is to bring hope, healing, and families to the Grand 7 neighborhood. G7D is actively seeking allies and partners to assist with the community investments, economic development, security, ministry, and the rest of the keys to neighborhood success. And yes, there's a lot more to do for any of you who want to help. Time, energy, and finances for sure. All of those things are part of it. And maybe you just know somebody who knows somebody who can help us. Bring them on. Bring them over. Bring them to see us. You can donate to G7D financially. If you have some work or some skills or some abilities, come and see one of us. If you want to donate to G7D financially, you can do that. Our little offering envelope has a G7D section right on it, and you can donate there or just come and see us. We'll check it out. If you have any questions about G7D or wonder how you might help, please see us. G7D is dedicated to making the Grand 7 community a vibrant corner within a restored Detroit. In the name of Jesus. We need each of you. We need all of you. We are giving people. God says, thank you. Together we've done a lot. Together we can do more. We pray life, life, life as one over this neighborhood.
The point here, in terms of coming back into the message, is all of this started with a small, still voice. Hearing a small, still voice. It didn't start out as a big collaboration. It didn't start out as a big event. Nobody even knew where it would go. Nobody even knew if it would go. It started out with just a sense that the Lord wanted something done. Wanted something done in the neighborhood. Wanted us as a church to make a different kind of impact beyond what we were making as a church. And so there was a place where not only did they hear the still small voice of God, but they acted on it and are still acting on it. Well, the Lord is saying for this season, for this time, this realm of the still small voice of God is really important. I know I get Chuck Pierce's emails, his updates that come out. And so this last week, there was an email update that came out that said that the still small voice was essential to your future. I thought, well, that kind of summed it up. really well, so I'll just use his words. The still small voice, that realm of stillness, the place of hearing God. This is the place of getting strategies. It's the place of getting download. It's the place of renewal. It's the place where vision is released. It's the place of connection with the Lord in an intimate way so that you get that kind of detail that you can build something. You know, G7D got started in the early 2000s and is still building, and it's built, you know, increment upon increment upon increment, but it still started with the in the place of the stillness of God. And so that's that. I want to go into that in some depth. So Psalm 46:10 again says, "Be still and know that I am God." First, that "be still and know" is a command. You know, it's like God is saying, "Do this. Be still and know." So this is about intimacy. It's about stopping in your path and stepping out of the path and aligning with God in this place, this realm of stillness, so that you can hear his voice, so that you can get the upgrades. Psalm 46 goes on to say, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." If you read the whole Psalm of 46, which I'm not going to do, but if you read the whole Psalm, it's contrasting the power of Almighty God with all other power. And so this helps to define what the realm of stillness is. You know, when you can't figure out how to get where you believe you're supposed to go, when you're faced with an obstacle, when you don't know what else to do, even in the natural, people step out of their routine, they step out of the grind, so to speak, and they step aside and they step out and they get still. But I know that many times that what they're looking for is something in their mind to answer, but what we're looking for is something in our heart. We're looking to connect with God Almighty. We're looking to hear the voice of the Lord. We're looking to hear his download and his direction that aligns with his purposes and his assignment in our lives, in our family, for the community where we live, the neighborhood, and so on. And so this is how it's different than how the world would do it, because the world does. They step out. They step out and they look for a quiet place so that they can think, so that they can hear. But we're not looking to think. We're looking to hear. We're looking to hear with the ears of our heart and see with the eyes of our heart, because this is how we connect to the Lord. This is how we connect to the voice of the Lord and his direction, and for him to give us strategies and understanding so we know how to navigate the now. And that's why this realm of the stillness of God is so important. There's a lot of navigating that we've done, but there's a lot of navigating we're going to do in this year that we've just entered into, if you're looking at the years Hebraically. And so the Lord is saying that this is really important, and this is what Chuck was saying. He says, you've got to hear the still small voice of God. You've got to stop and you've got to hear it, because your future relies on it. Otherwise, you're not going to know which doors are for you. You're not going to know which ones to enter and which ones not to enter, and you're not going to know how to advance and how to build for your future. What I loved in the story of G7D was how it's built and built and built. It's increased. The impact of it has increased. The significance of it has increased. The impact into the community, into the city of Detroit, partnering with the city of Detroit and these organizations. You know, there's a furtherance of the gospel and the goodness of God through that. But it all started in the place of the still small voice and in setting yourself aside and stepping into the realm of the stillness of God. The stillness of God, in the place of the stillness of God, there's infused knowledge. It's a place where there's the infusion of whatever that you need. Maybe you need peace. Maybe you need strategy. Maybe you need connections. Maybe you need resources. Whatever it is that you need, when you step into that place and you just like set it all aside and you go, Lord, I just need to hear you. I need to hear your voice. I need to know how to advance. I need to know how to build. I need to know how to navigate this. I need to know how to turn. I need to know how to continue down this path, or if you have another path for me. These are things that I need to know. And so it's in this place of stillness that we come with our need to know. And what we need to know first is we need to know our Lord. We need to know our God, and we need to set aside all of our conceptions of how we think things should be or how we think things are going to go. And we need to put all those things aside and come to the Lord in this place of his stillness with an open heart and an open mind and no agenda, and let him set his agenda in. Sometimes his agenda is amazingly more easy than what I was trying to do. Sometimes he can take something that I thought was very hard and make it smooth, just very, very smooth. And then there's other times when there's a path that I'm on that's full of twists and turns and potholes, and it's very confusing, and I can step into that realm of stillness and the Lord will show me how to navigate around the potholes and the stumbling blocks so that I can get into a place that has an easier flow than where it's at those point. I know you've experienced all of those places just like I have. That's part of what I guess I would call ordinary life. But when we can step into the stillness of a supernatural God, the God who's the creator of everything, that knows the beginning from the end, that is the beginning from the end, that has a plan and a purpose for everything, that watches after his word to perform it. So when we can step into that place so that we set all of our thoughts and everything aside and hear him fresh and new, there's just like a new energy that comes with that. There is new faith that comes with that. There's new connections and resources that come with that. And that's what you heard in the natural story about G7D. But that's such a perfect picture of the outworkings of when you hear God, that he will continue to show you and navigate you through the path and continue to allow you to advance in that what he's called you to do. And that's an exciting and fun thing to do, because it's very fulfilling in your heart when you're doing what God wants you to do. There's no better sense of satisfaction than partnering with God and doing what he wants you to do. And so when he says that this is a command to be still and know that he's God, that means knowing that he can do things that are beyond what we believe or think that he can do, because he's not held captive by any realm of our thinking or any realm of what we've known or have known or what we can even project into the future. And so that's why we have to know him, and he can impart his thinking into us so that we can do things that seem impossible, but God gives us strategies to do the impossible. Psalm 24, 7 and 8 says, "So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. Welcome the King of glory, for he is about to come through you." He's about to come through you. You ask, who is this King of glory? Yahweh, armed and ready for battle. Yahweh, invincible in every way. And so this is the Passion Translation of those verses. And we sang about this morning, that we're waiting at the gate. Well, we have to open the gate. And so the Lord's saying to open the gate to the place of his stillness, open the gate to the place of meeting with him one-to-one, heart-to-heart. Set aside everything all your desires, all your frustrations, all your plans, just set it aside and say, and like King Hezekiah did when he was surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy came and said, we've beat everybody, we've defeated everybody, so save yourself, just give up the city, and then we won't kill you, at least you'll live, but we're going to come in and occupy your city. And so they sent a messenger, and all of that was written out. Well, King Hezekiah, even though all of history said that everywhere that that army went, they won. They captured every single city that they went to. But when they came in to Jerusalem, King Hezekiah laid out the papers, because they wrote it all out and they handed it to him. He laid out the papers before the Lord, and he says, Lord, what do I do with this? This is meeting in the realm of the stillness of God. And God gave him a strategy. And you know what? That city was not captured. And history testifies to that. History testifies to that. That's not just a Bible story. History testifies to that, if that helps you, if that increases your faith. So this is the place of accessing the realm of the stillness of God. We take whatever it is and we lay it out before him and say, what do I do with this? And it doesn't even have to be a place like in Hezekiah's day. It was a place where an enemy wanted to take the city, wanted to capture the people, wanted to enslave the people. But it might be that you have a vision and you just don't even know how to go forward, that you have a half a dozen resources, but you don't know how to connect them. You just lay it all out before God and say, what do I do? How do I think about this? How do I approach this? What are you saying? Wow, that we have access to the insights, the strategies, the blueprints, and the turn-by-turn directions of God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, that he would make that available to us is amazing. It is amazing. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. This is Isaiah prophesying. He's speaking the words of God. And the Lord is saying, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord then. It's the word of the Lord now. It's the word of the Lord tomorrow. God owns everything. A lot of things may come in to try to mess with things, but God straightens it all out. So we have to let go of our preconceived notions. We have to let go of disappointments and discouragement. We have to let go of striving. We have to let go of fear. We have to let go of hopelessness. We have to let go of grandiose ideas and purposes that may not be of him, and let him bring his life, let him breathe through us and breathe life into that path, that thing. Just like in G7D, the group that runs that, the leaders that run that, they go back to God again and again saying, how do we do this? Are we supposed to advance? Are we supposed to go forward? Are we supposed to sell? Are we supposed to buy? What do we remodel? What do we do? How do we get money? All of those things. And God has again and again made the path clear, made it good, made it known. And he will make it known to you. He will make it known to you. What do you do? What do you do? How do you handle that kid situation? How do you handle that situation at work? How do you handle an investment? How do you handle whatever it is? Lay it out before him. Come into that place of stillness and hear his voice. Hear his voice. You know, scientifically, when you enter the stillness of God, you know, normally we're in what they call alpha brainwaves, which means that's everywhere where we're carrying our to-do list. you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to bring this together, I got to bring that together. And that's not a wrong thing to do. That's just living responsibly, right? You've got responsibilities and things to do, and so you're in what is called alpha brainwaves. When you come into the stillness of God, when you let go of the other things, when you return to His presence, when you return to His breath, like the song that we sing, "You are the air I breathe." You know, there's a place where you just come into your union with Jesus, and you come into the presence of God. And in that place of union, you hear. And He breathes into you fresh. And you hear fresh, and you get that fresh download. And it changes everything. That's also the place you go from alpha brainwaves to beta brainwaves. Well, what's the difference between alpha brainwaves and beta brainwaves? Well, there's several that I'll point out to you. One is beta brainwaves, science says, is the place of deep thinking. So this is a place where deep calls to deep because we're connecting with the Spirit of God. And so this isn't something that's scattered. It's not something that's superficial, but it's something that's deep. Another thing that they can measure with beta brainwaves is that the amygdala, whatever, I can't say that word, but the part of your brain that contains fear and contains frustration, that it literally shrinks. Those things that, you know, where you're fighting opposing thoughts, that it literally shrinks. They've measured this time and again, so you can pick up a science book if you want to and read about that. And so when you come into this realm of stillness, you leave the world of alpha brain waves where everything is just kind of, you're just keeping it together because there's so many responsibilities that you have, and you're got your to-do list in there, and I've got to get this, and I've got to get that, and you got to get the other thing, and you just, and it does take some discipline on my part because there's a high demand on all of us right now to get so many things done. Our schedules are so crazy, but you have to believe that it's worth it to set that aside, to take the time to enter the realm of His stillness so that you can go into this place where the actual brain waves in your brain shift from alpha to beta, and you can come into this place and receive the knowledge that God would impart into you like He did with King Hezekiah, so that He would give you His strategy, so you would know how to advance, you would know how to navigate, you would know how to build, and you would know how to advance in life. I mean, we all want to advance in life, and if we look in the natural, there's many things right now that are changing so fast and changing so dramatically. There's so many things in the natural that want to shut life down. But God says, I have life, and I have life abundant. I promise that, and this is one of the ways that you can access us. This is the year of doors. This is a door. God is saying this is a door that's open to us. Come into the realm of His stillness and hear what He has to say, and soar. Soar above those things that would hold you back. Soar above them and come into the place of building, advancing, and navigating. Because not everything, you know, is a straight path. And so there's sometimes that you need the strategy to navigate around. Exodus 14:13-14 says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." You need only to be still, which means quit trying to do everything yourself with your own ideas, trying to think it through with reasoning and with education. Not that reasoning and education are bad. They're not bad, but they need to be subjugated to the word of the Lord. They need to be subjugated to what God is speaking and the plans that He gives you. Because as you know, everything that has ever been invented, that's been invented, was beyond what anybody thought was possible. Think of Microsoft Think of the printing press. Think of the cotton gin. You know, think of automobiles. Think of whatever you want to think of. Think of the internet. Those were impossibilities because they did not exist. But those blueprints and those plans, whether they were believers or unbelievers, they came from heaven. The ability to create comes from heaven, whether it comes through a believer or an unbeliever. So God says that there's an ability of creativity that he's releasing, but you have to step into the place of receiving it. Step into the place of connecting to it. Step in the place of letting it flow through you so that he can bring through his creativity, through his solutions, through his answers, life into the places where you are to walk, where your path takes you. So he wants us to be ready to run into that place. And for it to be a go-to place. You know, we all have go-to places. The Lord is saying that the realm of stillness in this time is a go-to place. This is a go-to place. So go to this place again and again and again, because there's many confounding things in the earth realm. There's many confounding things in the realm of politics and business and government and all of those mountains of culture. There's a lot of confounding and conflicting things going on. But the Lord says that this is your go-to place so that he can give you sense, God's sense, on how to interpret, understand, navigate, advance, build, and prosper. This is part of the goodness of God. It's part of the promise that Jesus makes in the book of John in chapter 10, where he says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and give it abundantly. Well, one of the abundant places is in his stillness. So go into his stillness. Go into that place and meet with him. But you don't meet with him with a list of questions. You meet with him open. Open. That says, I just want to hear. I lay it all aside. I just want to hear. I need to hear from you, and I want to hear from you. And then as you hear, as it was shared earlier in the Habakkuk scripture, write it down. Make it plain. God makes things plain. He doesn't make things hard. He actually makes things very, very easy, because he says it's not by might or power, but it's by my spirit. And so that's very easy, because that means I don't have to lift weights, so to speak. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to take the bull by the horn and wrestle it down and wrap its feet, because I can't do that anyway. And so it's a good thing that that's not a requirement of me. I don't have to do it. But God will do it. If there's a bull in my way, he will, by his power, by his might, he will lasso it, wrestle it to the ground, and wrap its feet up so that it can't trip me. So that it can't make me fall or falter. That's how the Lord watches after us. That's how his word and his promises come into reality in a practical way, because we all have those things that come to trip us up, to mess us up, to make us fall, to make us scratch our heads, to make us think, I don't know, maybe I wasn't supposed to do this. Well, the Lord says, come into this go-to place called the stillness of my presence, and I'll make all of that clear. And he'll release his power and his might to remove the stumbling blocks, to remove that would cause us to not be able to go where he wants us to go. He clears the path. I don't have to clear the path. He clears the path, but I have to allow him to clear the path, because otherwise I'm beating my head against the brick wall and I'm getting really tired and really headachy because I'm trying to do something that is not working at all. And so the Lord says the go-to place is to come into his presence, into this place of stillness where all of this stuff is laid aside, and you come and you be with me, and I'll show you what to do. I'll show you what to do. I will fill you with everything that you need to do it. And this is what he did in Exodus 14, 13, and 14. This is where the Israelites had left Egypt out of bondage, and the Egyptian army was behind them to kill them, to annihilate them, and back them up right against the Red Sea. There was nowhere to go. But God said to Moses, raise your staff over this water body, and he did. And this amazing, miraculous thing happened that the Red Sea opened up and they walked through on dry ground, not even mud, but dry ground. And so this is what God will do in the still place. And that's what he says. You need only to be still. God is saying, just be still. Be still. Everybody wants to tell us what to do, but God is saying, be still. Be still and be filled with me. Habakkuk 2:20 says, but oh, God is in his holy temple. Quiet, everyone. A holy silence. Listen. Psalm 37:7-9. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil, for the evildoer shall be cut off, but those that wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Now that's quite a promise. Quite a promise. Psalm 27:14. Here's what I've learned through it all. I like this. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave. Be courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Colossians 1:12-14 says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. This is the place where the stillness is. This is where the realm of stillness is. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Mark 39, this is Jesus. This is when they were crossing the lake and they were going over to the other side and the storm rose up and the disciples were afraid and they went and woke Jesus up who was sleeping and he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I put this scripture in here because I know that the Holy Spirit is saying to me, and he's saying to tell you, that there's going to be a lot of resistance to where you want to go. A lot of resistance to where God wants to take you, but the Lord says, I'm greater than the resistance. And even as Jesus woke up and he spoke to the wind and he spoke to the resistance. He spoke to the waves, every wind of adversity. And he said, quiet, be still. When you look that up in Greek, it means shut up. It means be mute. It means be quiet. It means shut up. So you got to say shut up to some stuff. You just got to say it. There's voices and narratives that you've got to just say, shut up. I'm not going there. I'm not listening to that. Be still. You're not coming in me. You can't have me because I belong to the Lord. I got to read you this last scripture. It is amazing how often the proverb of the day is speaking exactly what God is speaking in that day. So this was the proverb yesterday, and I'm going to share, I want to wrap up with this, a couple of scriptures from Proverbs 3 in the Passion. It's verses 17 through 19, and then verse 23 for those that like to go back and read those things. So this is what the Lord is saying. Don't allow the actions of evil men to cause you to burn with anger. Instead, burn with unrelenting passion as you worship God in holy awe. Your future is bright and filled with a living hope that will never fade away. As you listen to me, my beloved child, you will grow in wisdom and your heart will be drawn into understanding, which will empower you to make right decisions. Embrace the truth. Hold it close. Don't let go of wisdom, instruction, and life-giving understanding. And all of that is found in the realm of his stillness. If you don't know how to enter the realm of his stillness, just start to worship God. As you enter that place of worship, everything gets quiet. As you come into the place of his presence, as you come in and his presence starts to fill the atmosphere, it fills your heart, it causes whatever you are thinking about just to stop thinking about, and you come into that place of presence, and that's the door to the realm of stillness. And you can do that anytime, anywhere, by stopping and just worshiping God. And you can do that in seconds. I mean, it's wonderful to worship God for an hour or 20 minutes or however long you want to put a time period. But sometimes we don't have much of a time period. Sometimes things are happening on the fly because this is an on-the-fly kind of time. And so we need to be able to do that in seconds. Well, as you have built a relationship with the Lord, as you have encountered him again and again, there is a place where you can connect with him in your heart just by turning your focus on that place, by saying, Lord, I know who you are. I remember when I met you face to face, when I was in your presence in this moment, and you remember that, and you remember that place, and you step into it. And you know what? From that place, he will enlarge the place of his presence and open that door to the realm of stillness so that you can come in and hear the small, still voice that Elijah heard, that Elijah ran from Jezebel after defeating the prophets of Baal. He ran, and he wanted to die. He says, I just might as well die. I'm the only one left. Well, God had to talk some sense into him and say, you're not the only one. I've reserved 7,000. And he told Elijah, he says, go out and position yourself, and I'm going to come. So Elijah did that. He positioned himself, and there was a mighty wind, and God wasn't in it. And there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in it. There were all these loud demonstrations, but God was not in any of them. But God came in the still, small voice. It was in that realm of stillness that the Lord gave Elijah specific directions that then took down all of the opposition of the Baal and all of the gods that come through that Baal system, and all of the corrupt government came down through the strategy that God released to Elijah in the place of stillness, in the realm of stillness. So it's been there from the beginning. And it will be there till the end. And it's there for us now. And the Lord is saying, make it a go-to place. If it's like this morning, and well, I don't exactly know what you're talking about. I don't exactly know how to get there. Just by faith, step into that place. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. He's the teacher. He will teach you. He will show you. It's just like singing a new song this morning. It was a little awkward. It was a little unfamiliar. So if this is awkward and this is unfamiliar, don't let it stop you. Because the Holy Spirit is wooing us in. He's giving us the answer. He's giving us the remedy. He's drawing us to him. He's drawing us to himself, and he's saying, this place of my stillness, come into it, come to know it, come to it often, because we are in a place of such divisiveness and division and chaos that we are going to need to hear what he is saying again and again and again and again. And when you come in and you are filled up with his Spirit and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit and your mind is renewed, like it talks about in Romans 12, and you're refreshed in your strength and in your courage, and you can stand boldly then. Hallelujah. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, advance. But you gotta separate yourself and come into the place of stillness to get all of that download. so that you can advance. The Lord wants us to advance. He wants us to stomp in the streets. He wants the treasures of darkness released to us. He wants the inheritance that is for us in this time, in this hour. He wants us to receive it. It's not going to come through the world. It's not going to come through natural knowledge. It's going to come through relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. We say to you, Father, that you are our hope, that you are the answer, that you make our path straight, that, Lord God, we rely upon you, and that we fix our eyes upon you, and we attune our ears to you, Holy Spirit. We expand our heart, and we say that we are willing to go where we have never been before, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us how to embrace the realm of stillness. Teach us to embrace and receive the blessings that are in this realm, to not only receive them, but to be able to extend them to others, to be able to speak them into the communities and into our families and into the realms of the earth, to bring your peace, to bring your wholeness, to bring your life, to bring your light, to bring your goodness, because it is your heart and your desire to prosper the earth, to prosper people, to bring light where there is darkness, and to those that are in bondage, say, be free. And all of this is part of the realm of stillness. So we thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And so we receive that blessing now. We receive it now. We say, bring it on, because we see that this is a time, that this is an essential gift and access that you are giving us. So we give you all the glory, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So God bless you. And our apostles are still on vacation. They'll be traveling home next Sunday, but Mike and Val Greer will be bringing the message next Sunday, and you do not want to miss it. I was talking a little bit to Mike and Val about what they were going to speak about, and you want to be here, because it is very, for now, it's very strong and very good. So thank you, and God bless you. Be blessed all week. Go to the still place. Go into that realm. Get what God's got for you. Amen.